Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want you to think of yourself as a younger child, or as a child. It may be a few years, it may be not so many. But if you have to, go ahead and close your eyes, because I want you to picture yourself on vacation with friends, cousins, whoever it might be. Now, you've gone to a place, maybe a cabin, or maybe it's a loved one's house that lives out in the country, but there's a forest. And in that forest, you, your friends, your cousins, you've been playing capture the flag. You've been having fun. You've been playing all day. As with all days, however, it starts to get dark. And so after discussing it with your friends, you come to realize you still want to play more. And so you're going to play into the night as well. But here's the kicker. Nobody can use a flashlight. Well, you all agree to it because, well, let's face it, our pride likes to get in the way, and so we go. And you're playing, and it gets darker and darker and darker, until you find yourself alone in the forest. Several noises, some of which your imagination are probably making into much bigger than they really are. But you are alone. At first you think you know where you're at, but then you come to realize you're lost. You decide you're going to try and follow your footsteps back to try and figure out a way back to where everything started, to the cabin. And as you're going along, suddenly there is a light not too far away, but far enough away. It's probably like a street light. But under that street light is your father. You say, "Well, thanks be to God, I see him. I'm no longer lost." But out of the middle of nowhere, two other figures appear. You're kind of flabbergasted by who they are because they're your grandfather and great-grandfather. Somebody you really respected, yet they have passed away, that they have gone into glory already. And so you're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Try to figure it out. In fact, you wanted to stay there so you can figure it out. But you're confused beyond all things. But during that, some fog rolls in and you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And all you hear is this voice. "Why didn't you listen to your mother?" That is the setting of the transfiguration for the apostles. We see in our text from Luke chapter 9, the apostles utterly confused by what's going on. Because Peter, James, and John, they're with Christ. He's praying, as he usually does, but his appearance begins to change. Says that his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. In another account, it's white like lightning. He is bright white. He is the purest thing you can see. Now, we go, "Oh, yeah, God is showing his glory through Christ." But is that really what we would have thought of as the apostles? We know this text a little too much. I think we would be scared, fearful, because something we've never seen happen before is happening. And to put the kicker in, two men, they show up, Moses and Elijah. They are not on this earth anymore. At least Moses died and Elijah was taken up. So why are they here? What is going on? And they're speaking about something that doesn't make sense either, about his departure. Now, that word departure, as translated in English, in Greek it is actually exodus. So what they are discussing is Jesus' exodus, his departure, his journey. You and I know that as the journey to Golgotha. As it continues, though, Peter, let's just say Peter doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. And so he opens it again, and he tells Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. Anybody can try to guess why he wants to build them. It could be that he wants to build some tents so that they can figure out what's going on. Maybe they want to keep them around so that they can learn from them. Well, whatever it might be, it was the wrong thing to say. Because let's face it, God's glory cannot be kept to a single tent. But in the midst of this, there is now a cloud that comes and overshadows them. Things are weirding out again. But as the cloud comes upon them, they hear this saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Suddenly, Jesus is found completely alone, and they're dumbfounded. In fact, we are told they keep silent and told no one, because let's face it, no one is probably going to believe him at this point because it doesn't make sense. How can this regular Joe just all of a sudden appear in the dazzling white? This is a good story and all, but what does it actually mean for you and for me? Because if it's just God showing his glory, if Christ is just showing his glory, whoop-de-doo. We knew it already. The thing that Christ is trying to show you in our text for today is that he is the light of the world. That he is a light to our path. That he is the lamp to our feet. That it is only through him that you can even gain your own light. But he also points out what he's going to do as the light of the world. He is going to go on his own exodus from the Mount of Transfiguration to the Mount of Golgotha. For it is upon Golgotha where he sacrificed himself for the forgiveness of all of your sins and the sins of mankind. That will be his exodus for the foreseeable future. In fact, it is a fitting day to have the transfiguration today. It is the last Sunday of after the Epiphany, but it is also the last Sunday before Lent starts. Before we go on our own journey to the season of Lent that points us to the cross. That is the exodus he is about to undertake, and is the greatest of all exodus because of what it does for mankind and for you. But you see, his exodus will not end there, but it will continue to the resurrection. For in his resurrection, you are declared righteous before your Father, that you are declared pure. For your sins have been taken away from you and placed upon Christ. But it doesn't stop there either. Because it goes from the resurrection then to the Mount of the Ascension, where Jesus does make another exodus of a unique kind, where he departs from us seeing him face to face. But you see, he departs from the apostles, from all those who saw him, to be with his whole church on earth throughout all the ages of mankind. That is the truth of what Christ's exodus has done for you. For again, in his Exodus, you find you are given your forgiveness of all your sins. You are righteous. And nobody else can tell you otherwise because God says it is so. But in his ascension, he then points out that with being with the whole church on earth, you can now go on your own exodus. Because let's face it, we are on a journey from birth to death to life. We are on a journey on this world that isn't always the easiest, is it? I don't know about you, but I struggle quite often with my sin, with physical things, with mental things, with spiritual things. Life isn't easy. And we often wonder, how am I going to get through this? It seems as if I have been abandoned. But you see, that is not the truth. You have not been abandoned, though it may feel like it at times, seem like it at times. Christ is lifting you up. In fact, he is carrying you. There's a popular poem, usually goes along with some artwork of some sort with sand. It's called Footprints in the Sand. But in that poem, it talks about how at one point there's two sets of footprints, one, then two, then one, and so on and so forth. Now, that's almost completely right. Because the picture instead should be this. In the sand, there's an outline of a body. That body is where you lay dead to your sin. Then there's a set of footprints that comes off from the side and picks you up. And then there continues to only be one set of footprints because they are not your footprints, but they are Christ. Christ who is lifting you up, who is holding you close, who is calling you his own. See, that is a part of our exodus. And part of our exodus is to come here and receive the comfort and the peace of Christ. That amongst all of our suffering, he is still there to forgive us, to declare us righteous, to continue to uplift us, to give us peace in all our relationships. That is the point of Christ's exodus for you, so that you can continue yours, so on and so forth. Because then his exodus points then with the ascension, it points to the resurrection of all the dead, in which you will be joined face to face with your Lord, showing you that there is something much grander than there is right now. As Paul said in our text last week, he talks about if this is all we have, we should be most pitied. However, we receive pity of another kind, of a God showing us mercy, grace, and peace. Let's face it, our sin hurts people. Other people's sin hurts us. But that is a part of the exodus, unfortunately. But with that comes knowing that we have sins and other people have sins, that we receive forgiveness. For Christ has only come for sinners, not the righteous. A sick person needs a doctor. A healthy person does not. That is Christ's exodus for you to be the doctor of all souls. To give to you that which you need to survive this world. You see, through Christ, through his exodus to the cross, you are promised grace and peace. You are forgiven of all your sins through the greatest exodus of all time. You are provided with life and salvation through Christ's exodus for you. Jesus went through his exodus to accomplish those things that needed to be done so that you can endure your own exodus until the end. For in the end, you will be joined to him and see your Lord face to face in glory and absolute perfection. That is what we have to look forward to. Now, does that mean life will not be a struggle? Absolutely not. In fact, usually we are promised in the scriptures that life will be rough for Christians because Satan's going to work on us. He's going to send his minions to try and conquer us. But you see, they have no sting any longer, and that's because of Jesus. Jesus' death upon a cross, Jesus being resurrected from that death. Jesus ascended to be with you in a unique, non-understandable way. But he does it all and continues to do it for you. You, his child, his baptized child, the one who has been delivered from evil. For on the last day, you will be delivered. You'll be taken from this valley of sorrow. You'll be taken from this valley of sorrow to the Mount of Zion, to the place where God dwells and you with him, to the place of absolute perfection and peace. That is God's promise to you. Yes, again, life may not be easy, but neither was Christ. And he went through it all for you so that you would have a hope, a sure and certain hope of what is to come. That's why he forgives you. That's why he continues to declare you righteous through the mouth of your pastor. That's why he's given you the consolation of your brethren, of your brothers and sisters in Christ. For as a community, we watch out for other. We put up with each other. We lift each other up. That's the point of the church. And it's all because of the light of the world, Jesus the Christ. He is the light in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome him. That is the truth. That's the truth that now sets you free. Amen.